Hello, and welcome back to my episode 11 of the Fundamentals of Investing. I am Professor Mahesh Agnihotri, your host for the podcast. I am a retired professor of accounting and finance for bachelor's programs and other higher qualification seeking programs as well for almost four decades in India, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates. During this period, I taught the basic and higher levels of accounting courses and also principles of finance, fundamentals of investing, capital markets and institutions, and applied finance in the area of finance. Apart from teaching, I have presented research papers in Asia, Europe, and North America, which includes an international business conference in the oldest professional management societies called Society for the Advancement of Management, established in the year 1910. In my earlier episodes, a number of topics were discussed, which include introduction to stock market, how it functions, why do stock prices go up and go down, then portfolio risk management strategies, then some tips for beginners who are contemplating to invest in stock markets, then concept of value investing, then investment in fixed income securities, and then we have also discussed investing theories and asset allocation strategies and various important terms of the stock market and financial ratios was also discussed. In this episode, we will discuss some tips for investing in mutual funds, which may help the new investors particularly. Investment carries risk always, whether it is a normal time or an abnormal time like the present pandemic. Or for that matter, in any class of asset, there is risk, including mutual funds. But investment in mutual funds may be a good option to those who have some funds to park but no time and knowledge to take care of the risks of the stock market on a daily basis. As an investor in mutual funds, you don't have to monitor the stock market on a daily basis. Your job of asset allocation, diversification, and risk management is taken care by the asset management companies or stockbroking companies. Before we discuss the economics of mutual fund, it is good to understand what are mutual funds first. Mutual funds are essentially vehicles which hold shares of various companies. Investors buy shares in mutual funds, and each share represents an investor's part ownership in the fund and the income it generates. In simple terms, mutual fund is a collection of stocks, that is equities and bonds. Why do people choose mutual funds over stocks? This is what we should discuss before we go deeper into the subject. As we know, investing is complicated. Investors have so many different options to invest, which includes stocks and bonds, real estate, money market accounts, etc. Even the bullion market, all these things are there. Whatever may be the option, we can say that there is no guarantee that you will make money from your investments. But there is a way out to take advantage of the opportunities available in the market by pooling your money into one vehicle, and that is mutual fund. You can certainly build wealth by investing in stocks, but I can say it may be safer to invest in a mutual fund rather than stocks. There are different types of mutual funds. Actually, mutual funds are divided into several categories representing the kinds of securities they have targeted for their portfolios and also the type of returns the investors seek. In fact, there is a fund for nearly every type of investor or investment approach for that matter. These different types of mutual funds could be money market mutual funds, bond funds, stock funds, and income funds. Let us discuss these one after the other. The first one is money market mutual fund. A money market mutual fund is a type of mutual fund that invests in high quality short-term debt instruments. This type of money market funds are considered extremely low risk on the investment spectrum and thus carry close to risk-free rate of return. Just better I tell you again the meaning of the term risk-free rate of return here again. A risk-free rate of return is the theoretical return attributed to an investment that provides a certain return with zero risk. Listeners may remember the risk and return theory, which was explained in the previous episodes, applies here. A money market fund generates income, but little capital appreciation. This fund may be taxable or tax-free. But it should be noted that the money market mutual funds are not insured in US and some other countries as well. There is always a risk, though extremely small, that the investor could even lose the money. Money market mutual funds are different from money market accounts. Money market accounts are interest-earning savings accounts offered by financial institutions and are insured up to a certain limit. So this is all about the money market mutual funds. Now, we will discuss about the second mutual fund, that is bond funds. Bond funds are those type of fund investments that are made primarily in the bonds of government, corporate, and other debt instruments. The primary goals of this type of mutual funds are to generate monthly income for the sake of their investors. And for that purpose, this fund is also known as debt fund. To be more clear, I can say that a bond fund is simply a mutual fund that invests solely in bonds or only in bonds. For many investors, a bond fund is a more efficient way of investing in bonds than buying individual bond securities, because bond funds do not have a maturity date for the repayment of capital. Because of this, the principal amount invested may also fluctuate from time to time. With regard to the risk, I can say that bond funds have higher risk than money market funds because they typically aim to produce higher returns. And again, I can say here, the higher the return, the higher the risk, which we have already discussed. Then we have stock funds. As the name implies, this sort of fund invests principally in corporate stocks. But not all stock funds are the same. Some of the examples are growth funds. Number one, what is a growth fund? A growth fund is a diversified portfolio of stocks that has capital appreciation as its primary goal. But remember, there is no dividend payment here, or little dividend payment. So the primary goal of the growth fund is capital appreciation. Growth funds focus on stocks that may not pay a regular dividend but have the potential for above average financial gains. The portfolio of growth funds mainly consists of companies with above average growth that reinvest their earnings into expansion, acquisitions, and research and development. Most growth funds offer higher potential capital appreciation but has a higher or above average risk. That is always the case. When the returns are likely to be high, that means you have taken higher risk. Now we move on to the next type of mutual funds, that is income funds. Income funds are mutual funds or ETFs that prioritize current income, often in the form of interest or dividend paying investments. So let us now understand here what are ETFs, that is exchange traded funds. An ETF is a basket of securities, shares, which are sold on an exchange. They actually combine the features and the potential benefits of stocks, mutual funds, or bonds. Like individual stocks, ETF shares are traded throughout the day at prices that change based on the demand and supply. So we can say that income funds may invest in bonds or other fixed income securities as well as preferred shares and dividend stocks. Income funds are often considered as very low risk investments as compared to the funds that have capital gains as their priority. The fund managers of income fund, they try to deliver good returns regardless of the interest rates regime. That means that income funds try to offer returns whether the interest rates are rising or falling. This is done by the active management of the investment portfolio. And those who want the incomes, monthly incomes, go for this income funds. Now we move on to the next category of mutual funds, that is the index funds. Index funds have become extremely popular in the last few years. Their investment strategy is based on the belief that it's very hard and in fact expensive as well to try to beat the market that too consistently. So the index fund manager, what they do is they buy stocks that correspond with the major market index such as the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Investors actually like index funds because they offer immediate diversification. That is, with one purchase, investors can own a wide swath of companies. For example, if an investor purchases one share of an index fund based on the S&P 500, that provides ownership in hundreds of companies. That is the most important feature of index funds. Now we move on to the next type of funds, that is sector funds. What is a sector fund? A sector fund is an investment fund that invests solely in businesses that operate in a particular industry or a sector of the economy. For example, IT sector, healthcare, banking sector, these are some of the examples. Then we move on to the target date funds. Target date funds hold a mix of stocks, bonds, and other investments. Over time, the mix gradually shifts according to the fund's strategy. Target date funds sometimes are also called as life cycle funds. These funds are designed for investors or individuals with particular retirement date in their mind. A target date fund seeks to grow assets over a specified period, and it addresses an investor's capital needs at some future date, say 5 years, 10 years, whatever it may be. It is found that investors use a target date fund to apply to their onset of retirement. Choosing the right mutual fund to invest in is one of the most important steps in financial planning. That is what investors want to benefit by investing. When you think of buying a smartphone, or for that matter a laptop, you think of brands, you think of wide range of choices and features. Or even if you are thinking of buying a car, you have different brand names, companies and features that are offered in the market. And so is the case with mutual funds as well. You need to choose from a variety of funds available. You can think of open-ended funds. You can think of closed-ended funds or fixed maturity plans. You need to check out your requirements. You need to find out what you want and then plan as per your goals. Remember, goals are important. Only then you can decide what to go for, whether open-ended or closed-ended or fixed maturity plan. Then you need to decide two things: how much risk you are willing to take to achieve your goals. Maybe you like to have a trip abroad with your family, or you may think of retirement plans. Then the second point that you need to decide is about how much money you would like to invest, or you have to invest, or you are planning to invest. Once you do decide these things, there are some other things which you need to check. The first point that the potential mutual fund investors need to check is the credit quality. One should not forget to check this credit quality of the portfolio when you are planning to invest in debt funds particularly. So, when you invest in mutual funds, the credit quality of the portfolio has to be, you know, checked properly. Then the second point is you need to check out the asset allocation and make sure that it is balanced. It is not overburdened in some asset and the other assets only a very small percentage is, you know, invested. So you have to make sure that the asset allocation is good. Then you also need to check out on the compound annual growth rate. This is a very important factor. It is actually the annual growth of your investments over a specific period of time. When you are planning to invest in a particular mutual fund, check out the history of that particular mutual fund over a period of time. That is the CAGR you have to check. Or in other words, I can say that this CAGR is a measure of how much the portfolio has earned every year during a given interval, say in the last 5 years. This must be checked because this is an indication of what is likely your future income. Then investors also need to check the beta. It is again given in the brochure of the mutual funds that is supplied to you, or it is available to you online. What is beta again? Beta is a measure of risk, and compare it with the risk you intend to take on your investments. Beta is a measure of the volatility or systematic risk of a security or a portfolio that the market as a whole is indicating. A beta that is greater than 1.0 indicates that the securities price is theoretically more volatile than the market. For example, if the stock's beta is say 1.2, it is assumed to be 20% more volatile than the market. If it is 1.3, then it is assumed to be 30% more volatile than the market. This is how you can decide what is the extent of volatility of the funds of that particular mutual fund. Then a beta value that is less than 1.0 means that the security is theoretically less volatile than the market. Compare the returns with the benchmark index. This is, once you check the beta, you have to compare the returns with the benchmark index. Just to know if it is more than the benchmark or less than the benchmark, just to understand how the fund is performing. Beta is equally important, and then the benchmark index of the returns also need to be checked. Then there are some other things like entry load and exit load. Entry load is the fees paid for purchasing the mutual fund. This may be there, but that amount may not be huge, but still it is there. You need to check on that and how much is that. And then exit load. What is exit load? It is generally the fees charged as penalty by the fund managers for premature closing of the accounts. This has to be checked, because after some time you may need money and you try to exit from the fund. Then if they suddenly the fund managers say that it is 2%, 3%, and that is a huge amount. So better check this exit load before you make investments into mutual funds. And then you need to check whether the mutual fund units are offered at a discount or they are offered at the nominal value of the share. That is, if a share is $100, whether it is offered for $100 or it is offered at $90. Sometimes some issues, very rarely, are issued at a premium. That means a $100 share is issued at $110. Then you need to check out if the fund is issued by what date, and before that date you can think of some other alternatives as well. Then the other thing that you need to check out is the net asset value. Net asset value is commonly used by investors as a per share value. And how do you calculate this? This is calculated for a mutual fund by using the assets and the liabilities. That is, the assets minus liabilities will give you the, and divided by the total number of units will give you the net asset value. Then you have to check out the performance of the mutual fund you plan to invest year-wise. How did it perform? In the last 1 year, what was the return percentage? Then if it in the last 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, you need to check out the performance of the mutual funds before you invest. Then basing on these points, you can decide the type of mutual fund that suits you and your requirements and dreams. Only then, if you are satisfied, you can subscribe to that particular mutual fund. Do not be in a haste just because you have funds and the asset management companies or the stockbroking companies will take care. Yes, they will take care, but it is your responsibility, it is your money. You need to understand these points which have been discussed earlier. Now, let us discuss the advantages of investing in mutual funds. Of course, there are some advantages. The first one is diversification. When you buy a mutual fund, you buy a collection of what that mutual fund has invested. As a part of the diversification strategy, the mutual funds spread out your money over different companies and or different types of assets. Actually, mutual funds invest investors' money in a mixture of products with high risk and also low risk and in a number of companies. For example, large cap funds are diversified by investing in equity shares of different companies which have large market capitalization and are very well established. A hybrid fund diversifies by investing in a mix of stocks as well as bonds. The second advantage of investing in a mutual fund is the low minimum investment. And this is a good news for small investors. You can get started with investing in most mutual funds with even a very small amount. That means small investors can also invest in mutual funds, which is generally not possible in case of investing in stock markets. Then the other advantage of investing in mutual funds is the professional management the mutual funds provide. Mutual fund managers analyze and study the current and the potential holdings for their mutual fund. And your investment advisor studies and evaluates the mutual fund managers to pick the best funds to help you meet your goals. Then another advantage of investing in mutual funds is the lower costs. Buying stocks and bonds, no doubt, costs you more as investors have to set up trading account and then pay some fees. But these days, most of the stockbrokers are not charging any fees. Anyways, the entry load is very low when people purchase mutual funds because they manage large amount of money on behalf of the thousands and thousands of individual investors. Mutual funds are able to take the advantage to reduce the transaction costs. Then the other advantages of investing in systematic investment plans. In some countries, mutual funds offer SIPs, that is systematic investment plans, not in all. What are systematic investment plans then? Systematic investment plans make it simple to invest regularly in a mutual fund with smaller amounts a month. This helps a small investor, which you know that is not possible in case of investing in stock market. You can have SIPs by giving standing instructions to debit an account every month on a particular date. These standing instructions you can give to your banker to debit your account every month a certain amount on a particular date. That will take care of your investments in systematic investment plans. The money is automatically debited. Once you give the instructions, the money is automatically debited a day or two before that day every month and invested in that scheme, so your investment habits get regularized. You need not worry, you need not remember those dates. Then the other important advantage of the investing in mutual funds is the transparency. The investments that mutual fund makes are publicly available every month. Investors can know how their funds are invested and how are the funds performing and how the funds are performing compared to the benchmark index. So there is a fair amount of transparency in the functioning of the mutual funds, which is very, very important. The other advantage is liquidity. It provides liquidity because your money is spread across so many stocks and bonds. You can sell your mutual funds at any time to meet your financial needs if you buy that particular type of mutual funds. The money is deposited into your bank account within 2 working days, and sometimes even lesser than that. There are mutual funds that do this even faster. I can say they have instant redemption funds facility. Your money comes back into your account within seconds of selling your mutual fund units. So that is a big advantage. When people need money, that money is available to them in a very short time. So liquidity is very important advantage. That means a mutual fund can offer a simple and efficient way to invest for your life goals, whether it is retirement or education for your children or buying a home or just generally making sure your money grows. And sometimes even you may think of taking a trip abroad. Any financial needs after a certain period of time of your investing, you need money, so it is there for you. So that is all about the mutual funds and the advantages it provides to the small investors. And this mutual fund is really beneficial to those new investors who have yet to understand the functioning of the stock markets, how they function, the tricks of the stock market players. Thank you. Please like, share, subscribe my podcast, and also recommend it to your friends. I will appreciate your views as well. If you want to have any questions to be answered, you can contact me on my email agnihotripodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, and see you in the next episode, that is episode number 12. Bye-bye.